Let's start then from our starting point, which, as you know, is Romans 5 and verses 3 and 4. So Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, not only, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. This morning we said that we'll spend the day looking at this word character. So Romans 5 and verse 4, there is character. It's the third step, if you like, in the stepping stones that Paul is often very keen to use as an idea. So the first step is stress, then the second is perseverance, and now the third is character. So hopefully we remember from this morning that character here doesn't refer to personality. We've all got different personalities. We've got different types of personalities. But that's not what character refers to. Character is the result of experience. And so what Paul is telling us here is if you engage with stress with knowledge, then the result is character. Character is that which is tested and tried in the flames of experience. And so what we did this morning is we took a look at Jesus Christ and his character. Hebrews 2 tells us that Jesus, although perfect, was made perfect through suffering. His character developed through the experience of stress. And so Jesus, the Son of God, shared in our flesh and blood. In the purpose of God, God sent him to share in our experience so that he would then become a perfect elder brother and a perfect high priest. And so the idea in Hebrews is that you look to Jesus and you see in him someone who experienced his character growing through stress. And Jesus knew that for him, God wanted him to become the perfect elder brother, the perfect high priest. And Jesus learned that perfection through suffering. So he can now be a faithful and merciful high priest. And he is also able to rush to the help of those who are in need. Now that's what we looked at this morning. What I want to do tonight is think with you about the whole idea of Christian character. So remember now, we're not talking about what your personality is like. We are talking instead of Christian character. So following on from this morning, where we thought of the character of Jesus, we'll now think about the character of the Christian. And let's use as our text Hebrews 3 and verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. Well, let's turn to God in prayer. Let's ask him to help us. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful truth that your Son, though perfect, spotless, innocent, yet learned perfection through the experience of stress and testing and suffering, that he becomes that perfect elder brother and that perfect high priest because he knows every way that we are tested. He knows it through his own experience. So Lord, we thank you then that character is this idea of how if we learn, if we engage with stress, if we do so with knowledge, then our God, our character develops. So Lord, our God, we ask you to help us listen to your word. And we pray, our God, that you would help us open our minds and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So do you remember then, in Hebrews 2 and verse 10, the preacher sets out God's purpose. And God's purpose is to bring many sons to glory. He considers us his children, and God is bringing us to glory. And God is doing it through his Son, Jesus Christ. The unusual phrase there in verse 10 says Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Well, we'll look tomorrow night at what that phrase means, the captain of our salvation. But God is bringing us to glory through his Son. And to make his Son perfect, then he suffered. And so the preacher is telling us that in our experience of stress, we are to consider Jesus Christ. Now, do you remember this morning we said that the preacher outlines a number of dangers that every Christian faces? So let's start like this then. Every Christian, like every other human being, will know stress. And we've said over many weeks that these stresses can be sudden and dramatic. The stress can be slow and quiet. It's multicolored stress that we experience. Now, the danger is this. If we respond to stress in an unhelpful way, then the preacher tells us we can expect at least three difficulties. The first, look at chapter 3, the first is in verse 12, an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief can be the result of engaging with stress in the wrong way. The effect of stress can be unbelief. So we'll talk a bit more about that this evening. The second is, if you go down into chapter, end of chapter 3 and down into chapter 4, the second danger we face is bitterness. Bitterness of heart. And so feeling stressed, it's possible for a Christian to experience bitterness at work in their hearts. And then the third danger, go on into chapters 5 and onwards through this letter, the third danger is drifting from the living God, or departing from the living God. So these ideas then are central to the sermon, which is this book of Hebrews. And do you remember what was happening to these Hebrews? They were Jewish Christians, and they were experiencing persecution. So they knew the stress of persecution. Their own families were turning against them. They were being thrown out of their communities. In many ways, similar to what happens today. There was this persecution, this ethnic cleansing, if you like. And the danger then for Christians is, when feeling stress, if you're not careful, if you don't watch out, if you're not aware, then the danger is of these three realities: unbelief, bitterness, and departing from the living God. Now, I wonder, what do you think? I wonder how many people are experiencing this in these days. These are difficult days, aren't they? We've said now for many weeks that as a congregation, we are knowing stress. And stress is outlined in three ways in this letter. There are the stressful circumstances that people experience. So these are events, happenings. And many people in our congregation, some of you here tonight, are knowing the stress of circumstances, the pressure of events that are upon you. This preacher will also point to the stress that is part of family life. And again, many of you know the stress that comes from caring for members of your family, being involved in the lives of your family in very detailed ways. The stress of family life when someone is a Christian and someone else isn't. Family stress is in the preacher's view here. And then, of course, you get to chapter 10, and he's thinking about the stress of church life and how stressful it can be, sadly, how church life can also be stressful. So stress in these three ways then, the danger is if you're not aware of it, that unbelief and bitterness and departing from the living God are the consequences of letting stress have an effect upon you. Now, I just said a minute ago, didn't I, how many of us are knowing stress? But I want you to think about how many in our congregation might be experiencing bitterness. Bitterness comes from the sense of unfairness, that what you've experienced isn't fair. And you can level that sense of unfairness against God. God is not fair. He's not being fair to me. He's not fair in what he's allowed. He's not fair in not hearing me and answering my prayers and making things better for me. So we can sometimes lay at the feet of God a sense of unfairness. And if you have a sense of unfairness, then the danger is bitterness. We can have a sense of unfairness when it comes to other people. We can feel that others aren't fair in the way they treat us. It's not fair that they don't care for us. It's not fair that they don't help us. It's not fair that they don't lift my burdens for me. So we can lay this accusation of unfairness at the feet of others, especially in the church. We can be very bitter if we feel other people have let us down and they've not supported us in the ways that we hoped. Can I say thirdly, bitterness? It can be the result of a sense of unfairness in your own life. How things have worked out for you. How they haven't worked out for you. What you once expected. What you once hoped for. What you once prayed for. And now this is what's happened. And so this sense of injustice lies beneath the experience of bitterness. And so our preacher, talking about the Israelites, uses them as an example of a people who felt this sense of unfairness. Bitterness, and then unbelief. Unbelief is often the result of having to wait a very long time. You've been waiting for God for years to answer your prayers. You've been waiting for God for years to bless his church. And the great danger is because you've been waiting and waiting and waiting, you can collapse under that pressure into unbelief. So you can see it there in verse 12. And then departing from the living God. Go back to Hebrews 2. And you remember these opening four verses. They are the first warning that comes in this sermon. You remember the warnings? I think there's four of them, five warnings. The first four verses of chapter 2, that's the first. And then you see it in verse 1. Departing from the living God is drifting away. See it in Hebrews 2 verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, I want to be very clear. I think that there are people here and people not here who are in danger of drifting away because of stress. A stress that doesn't change, that is there week after week after week. Stress that seems to build one dramatic thing on top of another dramatic thing, and then combine it with all the little things. And that stress is having the effect of causing some to drift away. And some, I mean, some of us. And the drift is very subtle and very slow. It's the stress of family life. It's the stress of work life. It's the stress of the relationships that we have. It's the stress we feel in ourselves for all sorts of reasons. It's the demands and the pressures and the expectations and the challenges and the unexpected and the dramatic and the tiny. These stresses, the result for some is a drift away. Now, all of this is, if you like, the negative side of stress. But the positive side of stress is we can develop a character, and a character that is like that of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you to turn with me to another verse. Will you turn to Romans and chapter 8? And in Romans chapter 8, right there towards the end, you've got some very wonderful verses. We all know that. They're very familiar to us. I'm sure most of you can recite them. I just want to show you one verse with one phrase in it. So look at verse 29. Romans 8, 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, part of that image that God wants to conform us to is the character of Jesus. He wants to conform us to the likeness of his son. And that work of conforming us to the likeness of his son is the development of a character that comes from experience. And so if we rightly engage with stress, if we understand stress, if we bring our knowledge to the experience of stress, then our character will develop like the character of Jesus himself. So I want to show you then that in this chapter, three things are highlighted by our preacher. The first we've already looked at, Hebrews 3 and verse 1. If you and I are going to develop the right character, then we need to consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. That's the first lesson in developing Christian character. Always keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Always think about Jesus Christ. Think about him and his experience and how he was tested. And think about how he was faithful in all that he experienced, even to the end. And that's what our preacher is talking about, isn't he? From verse 2, he's setting forth for us the faithfulness of Jesus Christ to God, even in all the stress and all the demands and all the sufferings and all the tribulations that he experienced. The preacher is setting this for you as an example of Christian character. So if you and I, being stressed, if we're going to respond to stress in the way the preacher wants us to, then every stress, under every pressure, in every circumstance, we think about Jesus Christ. We bring our experience to Jesus Christ. We relate the stress to Jesus Christ and his experience and how he endured even to the end. Now, this verse is very similar to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. So let's just make a quick reference to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And you probably know these two verses better than any others in this sermon. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So there's the same idea then. In your race, as you run, you constantly look to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's his example, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, hated the shame that the cross bore for him, and he is now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And what's amazing in that verse is the strong word hate that is attributed to Jesus. His trials and the shame was something he hated, but he endured it for the joy that was set before him. So there's lesson number one. Let me repeat it again. When under stress, whether it's a violent and sudden storm or these small steps, consider, look to, relate to, identify with the Lord Jesus Christ in his experience. And as we do that, we develop the character that Jesus himself developed. We are being conformed into the image of his son. Let's take a look at the second lesson then. And you can see it from verse 7 right down to verse 15. And it's the idea of patient endurance. Let's start actually at verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house you are, if you hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now, we're going to look next Sunday at hope. So both Sunday morning and Sunday evening, we'll take our final step as we think of hope. But what you've got here is the character of the Christian. And the character is one who holds fast and holds firm. Now, our preacher here, he's a wonderful preacher because he's doing what all preachers do, and he's repeating himself. So he wants you to be someone who is stubborn, someone who digs in your heels, someone who refuses to give up, someone who won't give an inch. You're not prepared to budge. So there's a stubbornness. There's an obstinacy. There's a difficultness in the Christian character. You will not give up for a second. You are determined to hold fast, to have your grip, to strangle the neck of hope as you live your Christian life. That's the character that is the result of looking to, considering, beholding Jesus Christ. Here in verse 1, the author, the apostle and high priest of our confession, and then in Hebrews 12, the author and the finisher of our faith. Christian character doesn't give up. So what are you like? What are you like naturally? Are you somebody who gives up? I am. I'm quite good, I think, at giving up. Throwing the towel in. Right, walk away. Right, it's too difficult, it's too hard, too many challenges, too many obstacles. Now, we may be like that when it comes to work or a project, but the character of the Christian is the exact opposite of that. It's a determination to be stubborn. And it's a determination to be difficult when it comes to your hope. So look again at verse 6. Hold fast, hold firm, don't let go of, hang on with all your might to the hope that God has given to you. That's Christian character. And the way it works out is individually. So we're going to hold fast. We're going to be stubborn when it comes to our relationship with God. And we are not letting go of what he said, of what he promised, of what he's doing. But this stubborn refusal to give up also applies to church life. We will not yield to what we believe, to what is the truth, to what the gospel says, to what the Bible says, no matter what the pressure, no matter what the demands, no matter how society may change, there's a stubborn refusal to relinquish the hopes of God as a church. And so that you keep going, holding fast, firm to the end, the confidence that God has given you. Well, you know the imagery, don't you? The imagery that we used in chapter 12 is of the athlete. And then you've got further imagery of the farmer. There's that idea of stubbornness at the heart of Christian experience. Now, it's not a general stubbornness. It's a stubborn refusal to give up hope. No matter what's in front, no matter what's gone on, no matter what someone says, no matter what the pressure is, no matter what the demands are, there's just this refusal to relinquish the hope that God has given us through his Son. And all that his Son has done, and all that his Son has endured, he starts and he finishes. He begins and ends. He's the one who originates and completes the salvation that God has devised. And so character refuses to yield in relation to hope. Now that's a great challenge. It's a great challenge, especially if by nature you give up easily. And so the need is to engage with stress, with knowledge, which will enable you to persevere. And then as you persevere, you develop this character, a character that looks up, a character that refuses to give up. That's what our preacher points out to us. Well, let's look at the third lesson, and you see it in verse 13. So let's think of it like this. Christian character, you look up. You don't look back. You look up. You look up to Christ. You look up to his experience. Christian character refuses to give up. And then finally, verse 13, the Christian character looks outwards. Christian character does not look inwards and looks down into oneself and examines oneself, but Christian character is always looking out to others. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest if in any of you, you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Christian character is more concerned for others than for oneself. And I want to lay this on a bit thick. I want us all to develop the character whereby we look out for others. So I want you, in the week ahead, you don't have to tell me, but why don't you ring someone who's drifting away? Why don't you reach out to someone whom you know is under pressure? Let's pray for those who are being squeezed by all the difficulties of life. Let's try to encourage those who are feeling the heat and the burden of the day. That's Christian character. So we're not consumed with ourselves and what's happening to us. The most wearying thing is when you're all consumed with yourself. Some of the greatest stress is the result of thinking about yourself and always focusing on yourself and only ever thinking about what it is you are experiencing. There needs this element here of reaching out, thinking about, considering, encouraging those who are under pressure here, as the preacher tells us. So Christian character looks up. The Christian character then, it looks around. This is what we're saying, aren't we, as we look here at these verses. Can I show you what I started with this morning? It says in verse, which is it? Let's have a look at these verses. Verse 14. We have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. This word partakers, it's the word that joins our preacher's sermon together. So, can you remember what we said this morning? We have the idea of us partaking of flesh and blood. Look at Hebrews 2, verse 14. Inasmuch then, as the children have become partakers of flesh and blood. So, here's the word first. We share in, we have fellowship with flesh and blood. Hebrews 2, 14 says, he himself, that's Jesus, he partakes in flesh and blood. The Son of God shares with us in our experience of flesh and blood. The Son of God becomes flesh and blood, just like us. And he knows the testings and the pressures and the temptations. In all things, he knows what it is to have flesh and blood. So, partaking. And then we go down, don't we? And we saw it this morning, Hebrews 3, verse 1. We are partakers of the heavenly calling. So the Son of God partakes of flesh and blood, and we partake of the heavenly calling. He shares with us in flesh and blood so that we share with him in the heavenly calling. And then here you get it again, towards the end of chapter 3, verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ. We will share with him. We share with him if we hold fast to the end our confession and our confidence. Well, let's pray, shall we?